Matthew chapter 8. Let's just look at a normal day for Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're supposed to be followers of Christ. Amen. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You can be seated if you desire. Hallelujah. How you could stand to. This word is so good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is just a typical day of Jesus. And now that he lives and abides within us, it ought to be a typical day for us. It says in verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Jesus had influence. And the reason he had influence, not because he was and is God, but because as the Son of Man, he followed after God. He received the same power that we received. On the day of his baptism, it had to be done because by law, before the priests could start their earthly ministry, they had to go through a cleansing, a ritual. And this was that for Jesus. So when he came to John the Baptist recognized him already. And he looked at Jesus and he said to him, I have need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? And Jesus was so in tune to the will of the Father. Can we get there? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. As a matter of fact, that's what we're growing into. How do you know that, Pastor? Because Paul gave us the vision of the church. He said, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, fivefold ministry gifts to the body of Christ. What was their purpose? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. That's the vision for us as the church of the living God. Growing in grace, God gives us the grace to grow. And he also gives us the grace that is sufficient to keep us in every given situation. And so we're moving towards that. We're growing in that. It's a pathway. We live our lives, yeah. We have our earthly responsibilities, yeah, but we're on assignment from God. We are born from above now. We had our earthly birth and we celebrate that, but we have our heavenly birth. We've been born from above. Hallelujah. Heaven is our home. Heaven is our citizenship. We got papers. Bless God. Here they are. Papers declaring our birth. So we have been born from above. We have been born again. We got the nature of God on the inside of us. When we were born the first time of our earthly, we had the earthly nature, the Adamic nature. But now that we are born from above, we got divinity on the inside of us. We have a divine nature. Peter tells us like this, to cultivate and develop that divine nature that's on the inside of us. By adding to our faith, virtue, and the virtue, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, temperance, and brotherly love and kindness and things of that nature along the line, the path of growing. You're on your way somewhere, whether you know it or not. You're not just sitting still, sitting idly by. Something is happening to you. Hallelujah. By the word and by the spirit of the living God, something's going on the inside of you. You may not be aware of it, but God is. He's got his hands on you. Hallelujah. You can be, you know, it's an 11-day journey. But you can take 40 years before you cooperate if you want to. So we're on our way into that place, into that measure, into that stature of Christ. So Jesus came down from the mountain. and great multitudes followed him. They came after him. I know some of you might have to leave early tonight, and if you do, two offerings. One, your regular offering that you give, and then two, for QLM banquet this Saturday, and we invite everybody out and everyone that you know, come on out for QLM banquet on Saturday. What's the date? I got it right here. The 10th. 10, testing. Saturday the 10th at 2:00, we'll meet here in the tabernacle, and then after we're done with ministry, we're going to go down to the MP room and have a delicious spread. Is it doxicator or is it easy turkey? Easy turkey is during Thanksgiving, and doxicator in the other time. Is that okay? Doxicator is going to be catering for us, and we're going to have a delicious meal prepared for you. So we'll probably be receiving an offering then too, but we're doing some things, so we really need your financial support. But take the opportunity, if you have to go, to give an offering, one, your regular normal offering that you would give, and then also if you want to give towards that, the banquet to help us out. We covered some things Monday night at QLM, and we had a blessed time. Amen. We had a blessed time. Praise God. God's doing some wonderful things, and I believe that what I have to share with the men on Saturday, it's going to really be a blessing, taking us to another level. We have completed 3 years. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. Hallelujah. We've completed 3 years, and we're hanging tough and hanging strong. Amen. Thank you, Sister Lauren. She's giving the men a standing ovation. Bless God. And these next 3 years are going to be radical, revolutionary. Praise God, for the glory of God. I believe God's going to have men coming from all over the place to participate in what he's doing in this house. I believe that. They may not be members here, but they will come and take part because of what God is going to do in and through the lives of men. Yes, I'll share with you on Saturday, but you know, we'd never, even though sometimes I might say it, we never, since the inception of QLM, considered it to be a ministry. We've always said it's a movement, something that is going to impact not just those who are here, but others around. And I just believe what's about to happen now is just going to cause things to explode for the glory of God. So anyways, if you haven't, praise God, give. If you don't, it's okay. But please designate what's what. If it's just a regular offering, designate that. And if it's towards QLM banquet, then go ahead and designate it for that. But I believe every wife is going to be blessed by the work that God does through QLM, especially over this next year. Amen. And I believe every future potential wife is going to be stirred up for every future potential husband that will be raised up out of QLM. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So when he, he left me. That's okay. So pray him in, bring him in, and we'll scale him and gut him and put him in the fryer. And they'll taste good when they get home. So great multitudes followed him. It was not because they thought that he was, you know, just God, all God. He impressed them by the words that he spoke, the life that he lived, and then by the works that he did. people followed him. But this was a typical day. And behold, in verse 2, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. They recognized the authority and power that he had. They acknowledged that he was a prophet and a rabbi, a great teacher. But they saw the power that he walked in, the authority and the anointing that was on his life. So the leper was convinced by other things he probably heard and things he may have saw. But remember, a leper is one that is considered an outcast. They have to walk on the other side of the street when you're coming down. They have to announce unclean, unclean, so that no one would, you know, come by them and inadvertently touch them, because if they did, then they'd have to go through this cleansing ceremony in order for them to be purified themselves. But they had to stay isolated. But this leper knew that there was something about Jesus. He didn't care what it was on him. He knew that Jesus had something greater on him that could do something about what was going on in his personal life. And that's an incentive for each and every individual, that no matter how bad it may be, come to Jesus, because he can make you clean. He can make you whole. So he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, typical day, just a typical day. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Now that was wrong for him to do, because if, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that day, you don't touch somebody who has leprosy because you become contaminated too. But this is Jesus. So it says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So that man's skin just healed up right before everybody, right before his own eyes, from this scaly, pus-looking skin that probably make many vomit. And Jesus touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them, because Jesus still knew he was operating under the law. But that man knew something about Jesus. I believe that if that man didn't come to Jesus and say what he said, he would have still had his leprosy. But because he came to Jesus and said, I know you can do something about my situation and my condition, Jesus says, you're right. And then he tells him how to honor the law. Go to the priest, bring the offering that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will. Praise God. I will come and heal him. Everybody say, a typical day for Jesus. It was the faith of the people that drew upon the anointing on Jesus' life that got them their miracle. Jesus could have kept on walking, But they came to him. And this man says, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, and if this tormented, and if this is the one that I'm thinking, they said that the way he contracted this disease was through immoral behavior, sexual immorality. And Jesus said, I'll come and I'll heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Typical day. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Any supervisors in here, or anybody ever operated in supervisor capacity? So you understand authority. You tell somebody to do something, they do it. You tell them come, they come. You tell them go, they go. You tell them pick that up, put it over there. They're supposed to pick that up and put it over there. And the centurion recognizes this about Jesus. Because Jesus can not only speak with authority, he can speak to the wind and the wind will stop. He can speak to sickness and sickness will go. He can speak to devils and devils will come out. So the centurion understands authority, but he knows he doesn't have that kind of authority that Jesus has. So he comes to him and he says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just speak the word only. This is a typical day with Jesus. So for the leper, he touched him. And he wasn't supposed to, but he did it. And he said, I will. And the leper was cleansed. And here for the centurion's servant, Jesus is like, okay, I'll come and heal him. Wherever it was, however long it would take to get there. But the centurion said, I'm not worthy. But I tell you what, I'm a man under authority, and I understand how authority works. Because if I tell them to do something, they got to do it. So if you are willing to come and heal my servant, instead of coming, just speak the word. Typical day. Their faith. They had that kind of faith in Jesus that he would be able to. Can we have that kind of faith today? Can we find that kind of faith today? Hallelujah. Let's get back to the word of God. Let's read through, let's see life through the lenses of God's word rather than just the circumstances that go on and our inability to do something about it because of our human capacity. Let's realize who's on the inside of us and let him come forth. Jesus, you can do something about this. Jesus, the IRS wants taxes. Go down there and fish. First fish you catch, reach into his mouth, take that coin out of his mouth, and then go pay your taxes and mine. He's a miracle worker. And the Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The forever is for us. Today was for their time. Yesterday was for the ones that were before them in Hebrews. The forever is for us and every generation that comes after us, because he'll never cease to be who he is. Priesthood being changed will no longer be changed again, because we got a great high priest and there will be no more replacements because he ever lives. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another one, come, and he cometh. And he's talking about the word. He's talking about being able to give orders, to just speak things. And so he says, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, or truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That wasn't a compliment for Israel. He's talking about believers. He's talking about the church. And here a centurion, Roman centurion, having authority over 100 soldiers. Here he is with this kind of faith. Lord, I understand how authority works. And I can tell you got authority. So just speak the word. My servant will be healed. Now Jesus is where? He lives in us by his spirit. Does he come in and all of a sudden become weak that he can no longer do these things? They had that kind of faith in Jesus. And Jesus says, I haven't seen no faith like this, not in all Israel. Of all the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you look at Ephraim and Manasseh as well as the double, if you will, from Joseph's loins. He says, I haven't seen that kind of faith in none of them. But look at what Jesus says. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That was a strong saying, typical day of Jesus. But he was telling things like they really were. Why? Because they rejected him. They didn't believe in him. They didn't put their trust in him. And here we are, we believe in him. We believe in him for salvation. We believe so much in him for salvation that sometimes we have that tendency to think that, you know, it's just an automatic thing. I know I have to break that down, but we think that nothing comes behind that belief. That belief is all that's required of us. But it's our life. It's the way we live. It's our belief, our trust. It's our building that relationship with the Father. It's knowing him as Abba Father and seeking after him and trusting him and praying and ministering unto him and allowing him to minister unto us, but having this daily fellowship and communion with him. It is so vital and so necessary. It's not an automatic thing where you just believe and then you just go and live your life any kind of way that you want to and then assume that because you believed in Jesus that it's all automatic. Jesus said, Abraham's going to be there. He said, Isaac is going to be there. And he says, Jacob is going to be there. And Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes. And he says, there's going to be many others. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles. He said, there's going to be many others that are come and they're going to believe, like this centurion. And he says, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. How can that be? They're children of the kingdom. Well, they're children in name only. They did nothing beyond that. They didn't follow after God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. They didn't have that fellowship and that relationship with him. It was just a religious experience for them. No heart change, no mind change, no life change. Just surface. They may have brought offerings, but their heart was not in it. And God was like, don't bring me an offering without your heart being in it. No. I love you. I want you to love me. And in this love relationship, this exchange we make, you're simply honoring me with what I say is honor me. And I'm going to bless you with what I know will bless you. Well, let's have this relationship. Let's not run off and you do your thing and think that I'm way up here just doing my own thing. I've got my eyes on you. My eyes are upon the righteous, and I hear them when they cry and when they call. Am I making any sense? So he says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. It was theirs, but they didn't want it. They wanted other things. And so those things they have, but there's no salvation in those things. He says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know where they're going to? Anybody, you want to take a guess? Hell? How many of you agree? Hell. I agree. He's saying they're going to hell. Children of the kingdom are going to hell. I agree with that synopsis, understanding. I agree with that interpretation. That when he says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and he's talking about the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, he's saying children of the kingdom that the kingdom belonged to, they didn't want it, so they're going to go to hell and perish. And I'll give it to somebody who wants it. Hallelujah! Your life is a reflection of you wanting the kingdom. Hallelujah! Everything about you speaks of, I desire the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's your motivation. It's why you live. And you have everlasting life. And you don't want to be there alone. You want others to come too. You can't force them, but we can give them an invitation. So he says, they will be cast out and there will be weeping and gnashing. And then Jesus said unto the centurion, he says, go thy way, and as thou hast believed. Now while we were worshiping, I heard the word faith, and I did not think that it was for tonight, but through these passages that I'm reading, it is for tonight. Believe. Tell your neighbor to believe God again. Believe more. Hallelujah. Don't be frustrated or flustered by 2014 if things didn't work like you thought they would, but believe again with fresh faith. Believe. He said, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Hallelujah. You know, a centurion doesn't have to make his way to find Jesus to ask him to come and heal his servant. He can just let his servant, I'll just get another servant. But that servant was special to him, to where he went to intercede, and the Lord says, okay, I'll come. He's like, no, I'm not worthy. But I know how authority works. And I recognize you have authority. So just speak the word only. Jesus said, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And listen to this. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome. Don't never let the word get stale and dry to you. Don't never let yourself get in such a place that you can't rejoice and just embrace. I don't care how many times you read it. I've read it many times, but still looking at it again, it's just fresh and it's new. It's like manna. It's like the bread coming out of the oven. It's good. And that servant was healed. That self-same, he didn't have to put self-same, but self-same, that very hour, that very moment when Jesus said, it's done. It's done. Typical day for Jesus. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody find the scripture. Hebrews what? 13:8. That was good. That was good. That was good, brother Ian. Now you go. You go. You go. Is it on the board? Oh. Not yet. So this is Bible study for tonight. It's not what I had planned, but this is what's coming forward. We need to believe again. faith. Let your faith level rise. Hallelujah. We're going to do this whole thing by faith. Glory to God. We're going to have men coming from all over the place by faith. Hallelujah. In this upcoming year, we're going to have them coming, and men are going to be healed. Their families are going to be healed. They're going to be restored to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. They're going to serve God with humility. They're going to be strong in their union and relationship with God. Hallelujah. They're going to set a standard, and they're going to come against the enemy, and we're going to see our city saved, and we're going to see our state saved and our nation saved. We're going to see revival. It's going to take place in the men, and it's going to impact the women, and we're going to sweep this nation with salvation. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I speak it in Jesus' mighty name. I speak it, and I declare it to be so. Hallelujah. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Glory to God. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, say typical day, all of this came from coming down off the mountain. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. So now he goes to Peter's house in Capernaum, and he sees that Peter's mother-in-law, is laid on the couch sick. She didn't ask anything. Jesus went over there, and it says in verse 15, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. That's power. That's power. All he did was came over and just touched the hand, and power went all the way through, however far a fever reaches, and drove it out. And guess what? She got up and started serving. Praise God. She got up and started serving. He touched her. The anointing touched her. And the fever left, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, typical day of Jesus, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. We don't focus on that too much anymore. In churches that do, they get labeled as if something's wrong with them. But our Savior, part of his earthly ministry was casting out devils. So it says here that they were possessed with devils. It says when the even was come, devils come out in the night. They brought unto him many, not just a few, but many that were possessed with devils. And you know what? I believe that some of the sicknesses and diseases that we see on people, that they are demonically related. And that once the devil is cast out, the sickness will go too. Some of these diseases that we just try and medicate, there's never any healing, but they're just on medicine for the rest of their days. It's a demon. Sickness is not of God. Sickness is of the devil. And it says, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Everybody say word. The power and the authority of his word. And healed all that were sick. And this was the verse that I wanted to get to, and we'll stop here. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And Isaiah also prophesied that by his stripes we are healed. Now, if that was the end of the story, that would mean like healing only lasted during Jesus' time on the earth. But Jesus said this. He said, the works that I do shall you do. Yea, even greater, because I go to my Father. And so the works didn't stop at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. As a matter of fact, it kicked into higher gear Because now it was more than just one who was doing the works of God. Starting, even when he called the 12 and one was a devil, Jesus still gave Judas power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely he received, freely he released and gave. But when Judas fell and another one took his place, they still operated in that same power. That's what you see in the book of Acts. And it was never meant for the church to one day run out of gas, run out of power, and have to settle for everything that life gives us. What happens is we drop his word. And then we deal with situations in our own human strength rather than the power and the authority of God's word. But when we pick up the word and we take that word and swallow it into our spirit and allow it to be mixed with faith to activate it, we will see the same results. It just takes a generation to pick it up again and run with it and not be moved by all the negative, reactions, for lack of better words, or negative words that people say about or against us. I ain't going to that church. It's just weird. They pray for people to get healed. Nobody gets healed today. I'm not going to that church. They cast out devils. I'm not going to. People are spitting in buckets. We had a man that came in here. He came one time. He enjoyed the teaching, but one thing he couldn't agree with, and he never saw it here. But he says, I was at my church and I'm ready to leave my church. And the reason I want to leave my church is because they have people that are throwing, I don't believe in that spitting up stuff in a bucket and stuff like that. And I'm like, uh-oh, you ain't going to stay here either. And so I explained it to him. I said, when you read the word, you'll see that when some people who had devils, especially this one boy whom they couldn't cast the devil out, that he was foaming at the mouth. He had foam all over himself. And it's not uncommon for people to spit up because they've got a demon on the inside of them or more than one demon, and they just start acting up. You ever seen these commercials, these cold commercials, and they have these caricatures like supposed to represent mucus, Lucinex? It kind of looked gross. And they can do different kind of commercials and things like that. But demons, they can manifest themselves like that. And it's not that the spit that comes out of the person, that's not the devil. But it's just a manifestation that demonic activity is going on. And so I was telling him, I said, well, it happened in scripture. And I said, and I've seen it where there in Pittsburgh, a lady who came and she was demonically possessed and had to cast the devil out of her. And she was just moving like a serpent all over the ground and crawling and rolling. And spit started coming out of her mouth. The spit wasn't the devil, but it was a manifestation of demonic activity in her. And she got set free. I saw that girl about 5 years or so later at this event. And she came up to me and she was like happy because he cast the devil out of me. And it's like, I didn't do it, but praise God. But she remembers that she was bound by a devil and the devil got cast out of her. So when demons start to manifest, we can't be all that, But outsiders may, and outsiders that are supposed to be children of the kingdom may look at it like, but it was a normal thing. It was a part of Jesus' daily earthly ministry. And so the closer we get to Jesus, the more we see the manifestations. And because devils manifest, it doesn't mean that the person who's leading is full of a devil. It's just that demons are attracted to the anointing of God. And if the power of God is present, demons will manifest themselves because they'll be lying dormant. They can rest dormantly in a religious service. But let the anointing start to manifest. Let the power of God start to manifest. And demons will act up because the presence of God gets strong. So how do we get on demons? The weirdness of the church. I was about to conclude with 8:17 that it might be fulfilled. Yes, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Stand to your feet. And so by his stripes we're healed, and we can't be moved. Because there are a whole lot of people that say that they're children of God. But remember what verse 12 says. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Why? No faith, no building on the relationship. And I'm not saying everybody's going to hell, that, you know. But the proof is in the life. The proof is in the relationship that one has. It's got to reflect the kingdom. Amen? All right. Has everyone given that's going to give? I had a wallet. I used to really have one. Don't ask you. Wow. Okay. Well, we'll find it. Brother Finn, you got my wallet. Is that what it is? I see you moving. Yeah. Thank you, brother. I got to go find it. Thank you, Jesus. Release our faith. Hallelujah. Stretch forth your hands in faith. Thank you for your patience. Father, thank you. Command the blessing on the offering. It'll be used for your glory. It will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you for your word, Lord. Just a common day of Jesus. Just everyday norm for him. Lord, let that be our lives as followers of Christ. That no matter where we are, Jesus will come forth out of our lives.